Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George is in Zephyr A, and I am in Zephyr B. This is season 19 for me, and season 23 for George.
This is the last day of season 91. The first question asks us for a legendary jazz pianist known by a sweet-seeming stage name.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a clue to the actual answer here. It notes that he claimed dubiously to have invented jazz, which is quite a sizable claim in itself. But this is a person who did not lack for any type of ego, essentially. This is Jelly Roll Morton, and I have seen I've seen the musical Jelly's Last Jam, which is all about him. And I don't know if I learned from the musical or from reading about him at another time that his nickname came from, how to put this delicately, the size of his assets. Because if you've seen a jelly roll, you know the sort of girthiness we're talking about here. And so that's why his stage name is Sweet Seeming. It is named after a dessert, but it's not because he was so sweet. And so, yeah, this is just one that I figured it just kind of ticked all the boxes. I recalled from the play that he was a pianist and that he was, had this egotistical streak for sure. And I knew several facts about this that contributed to me putting down Jelly Roll Morton.
I have heard of Jelly Roll Morton, and that's why I got this. Longtime listeners may recall me ranting about the fact that I just don't like jazz, and I've tried. I've probably listened to some of his stuff because I made several concerted efforts over my first 30 years or so to try to like jazz and just never did. But I learned a fair amount about it. And that at this point in my life has degraded in my brain to occasionally recognizing names.
All right.
And one of them that I recognize as a name is Jelly Roll Morton. And therefore that was the one that first came to mind. And for lack of anything else, that's what I went with.
That was the correct answer. Question two asks us what lasted from 1337 to 1453.
116-year span. Mm-hmm. I wonder what period of time that might have covered. It's the 100 years war.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd asked me the actual years involved, I wouldn't have known. If you'd asked me the actual span, I wouldn't have known. I knew that it lasted more than 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I recall of it.
So. Yeah. I had the same thought, essentially. Like, I was pretty sure that I knew that the Hundred Years' War didn't last exactly 100 years. I'm not sure I would have picked this particular century for it out of a lineup. Probably thought it was a bit later. But, if it lasts over 100 years, then it's definitely going to bring the Hundred Years' War to mind. Mm-hmm. So I put down Hundred Years' War as well.
Yep, and that was correct. It was, of course, not just a war in the way that we think of it in the modern terms. It was a century-plus-long continental conflict between England and France.
Right, kind of almost a rivalry in a certain way.
Yeah.
But a very violent one.
It was the Hundred Years' War in the sense that the 10-year war between Michigan and Ohio State was. It really only happened about 10 days worth, but...
Right.
Question three asks us for the name of a former administrative région in southwest France that gave its name to a certain kind of automobile.
Yeah, this is... This whole thing just made me think of the various types of car styles, I guess, or car bodies. I'm not sure exactly what you call it. That have sort of French-sounding names, so like sedan and coupe. And I was kind of like debating between those two for quite a while. Other names were not coming to mind for me. And so I just tried to, you know, think about branching out to different models that might sound sort of French. And there aren't that many other, like, you know, car body types like that. Like, it's not going to be from Le Hatchback or Le Station Wagon.
Luxury.
Right. And so not too long after, just trying to be like, okay, it's got to be something other than these two, because I sort of know that there are etymologies for these, like that. I think those are pretty well established. And so I thought, well, what about a limousine? That sounds like it comes from the French, you know, based on the way it's spelled and pronounced. And, you know, I don't know what the name of the region is. I don't know if it's maybe Limoges or something like that. You know, don't quote me on any of this, y'all, because this is very much just sort of fuzzy logic guessing or something like that, that is kind of pointing me in this direction. And so once I thought of that, I was like, I can't really think of a better option. I thought that sounded like the type of thing that might, you know, be asked in a Learned League question. And I admit I can't think of what a limousine would like refer to or where that word would come from, other than perhaps a place name or some other sort of like proper name or some derivation that doesn't otherwise make much sense. So I put down limousine.
Solid. My first thought was Renault. And then I thought, I feel fairly certain that Renault is named after a person.
Yeah.
And I tried thinking of other automotive types, and I too immediately came to, oh, this is like the a style of car, not a brand of car.
Mm-hmm.
So that also dismissed like Cadillac and Fiat and other ones like that. So I too went to that, and my first two thoughts were coupe and sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried thinking of other ones, and I just couldn't really get any farther than that. So I spent most of the day trying to decide between coupe and sedan, and thought, sedan, like I've heard of sedan chairs. And that was like, you know, the thing that like you see Cleopatra riding around in on on the shoulders of eight muscular dudes and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that etymology is clear.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, probably wasn't that. So I figured, well, maybe it was the coupe region or the coupe region, and that got attached to small cars because maybe it was a small region. Or, you know, notably, maybe the roads were very windy, and so very small cars had to be invented to traverse that.
Okay.
So I went with coupe.
Correct answer was limousine.
Yep. Yeah, and the region was Limousine.
Okay.
Without the E.
Oh, all right.
And as noted, no one knows why cars were named that.
Huh.
They just came to be known as limousines.
All right, then.
Yep.
Question 4 asks us to name the British equivalent of Michael Scott of the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company.
I watched, I believe, 2/3 of one episode of The British Office, which obviously this comes from,
mm-hmm.
and bounced off of it very hard. I do not like cringe comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Ricky Gervais generally.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried to get into his further work and have enjoyed approximately 6 minutes of it, and that's totaling up a couple of episodes of his later show episodes and a couple of movies that he's been in and some of his stand-up work.
Sure.
And I feel fairly comfortable in saying it's slightly over 5 minutes of his total output that I've enjoyed.
All right.
And The Office was not it. And so I just, I couldn't summon this forth. So I thought, well, okay, they maybe didn't change it very much from the British version when they transposed it into the American version. So maybe his name was also Michael. And maybe it was also, maybe his last name was also a common first name. And just sort of Michael Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That doesn't
sure
sound incorrect for some reason. So we'll go with that.
Okay. Like you, I have not watched the British version of The Office. I've seen a few clips of it, I suppose, but I the Office itself, I haven't seen a huge amount of, like, my watching of it increased tremendously when our daughter was here for a summer a few years ago, and she was like binge watching it. It was somehow popular among tweens or young teens at that time. It might still be for all I know. And so I just didn't have the background to figure this one out. I thought that perhaps it was, noting that first and last name were required was really about the only thing I had to hang a guess on. And so I thought, well, maybe his last name was also Scott, but different first name because, just something, I don't know. I didn't really know this one. I didn't have a way to guess. So I put down Ricky Scott because I was like, maybe it's the same, kind of mapped right onto the same name like that, basically.
Which is not an uncommon thing, especially among sitcoms. And I believe as much so in Britain as it is in the US when you have something like that. Now it was David Brent, which I recognized, but
I've probably heard it too.
yeah, I looked at it and said, "Oh, yeah, okay. That's correct." I couldn't have gotten it if you'd spotted me either of those names. I couldn't have given you the other one.
Nor I. And I am assuming that first and last name are required because there's some other Brent character on that show, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
Question five asks us for the term for a document that transfers ownership of a property from one person to another.
So this one was probably the one that that I answered fastest and was probably surest about. And it was almost like I knew this so quickly, it was almost subconscious, and I like later realized some of the details of the question were sort of pertinent to the term that you pick. So a legal document that transfers property ownership is the deed to that property. It's like if you buy your house, then you get the deed to that property. And the real property part is the detail that I'm referring to, as far as I skimmed right by that and just went down and saw the parenthetical that it's like, well, it's either the deed or the title, but it's not the title because that's in the question. If I had paused to think about it, the title is not what you get for a house or for a piece of real estate. You get it for a car, you get it for something like that. And so all the same, deed came right to mind, and I was like, yeah, that's the document you get when someone buys a property. So I put down deed.
Yeah, same here. Reading this, I thought, well, this sounds a lot like the deed. I couldn't convince myself that it wasn't. And I did spend rather an amount of time today thinking, why do we call the version of that for a car the title if the deed is what transfers the title of a piece of land? Seems odd.
It's a good question. I wonder if it's because of the mobility of the asset or something. I don't know.
Just seems weird that you would use the same word for a different thing that's very adjacent to it in a similar process.
So you're expressing surprise that in legal terminology, they
There's
have
something that doesn't make
weird
sense.
reasons that are sort of nonsensical to the outside observer. Okay. Just
Just
checking.
the
Just
fact that
making
it's
sure
so
of that.
close to it. Like if it were something entirely different, that would make sense to me. If the paper you got when you transferred the ownership of a car to another person was called the Riffelbach,
We're
sure.
probably literally physically stabbing in the heart any lawyers that are listening to this podcast. We do not apologize. This should not be this weird.
But it was a deed.
It is, yeah. And finally, question six, the last question of the season, asks us, it gives us two of the three main types of fencing as a sport. The foil and saber are given, and we are asked to supply the third.
This is the épée. It's a very common crossword clue because gives you a lot of very common letters all jammed in together like that.
Right.
So, but yeah, this is just, this is a thing that I recognized.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, same thing. I knew it from crossword puzzles, and I'm pretty sure we've had a somewhat similar fencing question before, asking for one of the other types that I didn't know, but not listing them such that I put a pay down for that as well. Or I think maybe it was foil or something like that. So, yeah, this one I was like, well, if you've eliminated these other two options, then a pay is definitely what I'm going to think of if you ask me for a type of fencing or a type of fencing weapon specifically. And yeah, thanks to crossword puzzles, that's what I knew to put down.
And that was correct.
Indeed.
It's good to end the season on a correct answer.
True.
If not a series of correct answers. But that's how this whole season went for me, at least. I got 4.
I was at 5 on the day, and that was definitely maxing it out for me. I was not going to get that David Brent Yekioid kind of question for sure. Yeah. You know, the other ones had some avenue into them, but there's just no getting around. If you haven't watched that show or know who David Brent is, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very middling season. I lost yesterday defensively by a point, and so I have I'm 8-9-7. You know, if I can manage to pull out this win, 9-9-7 is not exactly a stratospheric performance, but some seasons are like that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm at 3-17-8, I think, or 3-17-5.
Aye, aye, aye.
3-15-6.
Sheesh.
Yeah, my worst. I feel fairly confident in saying it's my worst season. I can't be entirely certain, but
I'm pretty sure I've had one in Arundel like that.
That's yep.
Perhaps
this
more than
is
one.
My worst season by rather an amount.
I'm sorry.
I had a 5-win season, 2-89.
Okay.
But managed to squeak by that one. I am not squeaking by this one. I am.
Yeah.
4 points down in the red, heading into the last day.
Well, on the plus side, you're still way ahead of me in the private rundle.
Am I? Because I've lost 5 straight, plummeted from 5th to about 16th.
I'm still in 23rd.
Ugh.
So I don't know what you... Well, here's the thing. That's really how this private rundle should work.
Oh,
because
you
all know how to defend us.
Yeah.
We should be in the basement.
We really should.
So, I mean, this is... Maybe it's taken everybody a couple of... seasons to really get that working for you. But well played, because you sure are. Not that we're necessarily even the highest performing people in the Rundle generally.
Not by pure
there's a lot of great players in there.
But this wasn't a bad season for me TCA wise. I'm gonna finish with I want to say 105.
Okay.
Which is if you take out my first few seasons, I realized my first 6 or 7 seasons, I was really learning. You can see there's a steady increase in my TCA, and then it leveled out around, slightly over 100, because I average 4 a day.
Sure.
Or slightly over 4 a day. And in an Arundel, that's 4 a day, you got to get the right ones. And you got to kick up a few extra every now and then, but I beared 3 times this season and I won 3 games.
Yeah.
That is how, and
those rough times in A Zephyr.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, B'll be fun next year, I guess.
Well, we'll play each other twice then if we do this Rundle again.
Very possibly.
I'm going to end up with over 100 TCA just, which is respectable. I feel like just kind of looking over my record,
the overall
some pretty good scoring categories, including 8 out of 12 in game sport. That is one of my best performances there. And also 8 out of 11 in geography. That's kind of a nice improvement. Some other categories kind of shored up a little bit for me, which is nice.
This was overall a slightly easier season for everybody.
Okay.
across the league. It was a, it's gonna end at about a 53% overall get rate.
Okay.
Which is, if I'm doing the math correctly, about 80 TCA.
Okay.
Somewhere between 75 and 80. So, you know, if you got over that, you're above average in this league. Which, and frankly, above average in this league is above average amongst.
Oh yes.
Amongst people generally, but yeah. So.
We all know a lot of stuff.
Yep. So that's it for this year.
Indeed.
Tune in January for more post-game analysis.
Will it be January?
Might be February. You're right. Well, it's like 3 weeks of absolutely no activity before Thorsten starts up the.
I'm gonna look at the calendar here for us just to make sure.
February.
Yep. February. There you go.
February 14th.
You can try to tune in January, and you just will hear silence.
Yeah, we won't be talking about anything.
It'll just be a hiss of static.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know about any of these mini leagues. So.
I haven't looked at any mini leagues or upcoming one days. I did get a one day accepted for this coming year, but that's not until May, so I'll be hyping that up much later, like maybe after I write it. So we'll see how that goes. So yes, in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter if you want to have a fairly quiet account in your feed at LRNDLG. That's Learned League without the vowels. And remember, as you go into the holidays,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.